outside of the Bible, the greatest two documents that have ever been penned are the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence. And the reason those two documents have lasted for 230 years is because they were written on the knees of the framers.
This is the voice of the Colorado Liberty Movement.
I'm not a sixth grader. It's fine you want to lecture me on the Constitution. I studied the Constitution myself. I am reasonably well educated.
Live from Studio 56, this is Grassroots Radio Colorado.
Let's be clear about one thing. We're not here to rebrand a party. We're not here to put a fresh coat of rhetorical paint on our party. We're not here to abandon our principles in a contest of government giveaways. We're here to rebuild a country.
Now, Chris Cook with Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560.
Freedom, liberty, truth.
American woman, I said get away. American woman, listen what I say.
Welcome to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. It's Wednesday, so that must mean that the host of Freedom 560 has joined me.
I have, yeah.
Just mush the shows. It's like a mashup. It's a Liberty mashup.
I don't really have a name. I'm just here.
It's Ken Clark, who's the host of Freedom 560. Everybody knows who you are.
Oh, I see.
Everybody, you're like Cher. I mean, you just...
Oh, don't even go there. Like Cher? Are you kidding me?
I mean, you only need one name. You're just Ken.
Oh, just, man. Just, no.
We're not going to go there?
No. Cher's like dead from the neck up. I mean, come on. I mean, if you, no.
Okay.
How about
okay.
Gandhi?
There you go. Okay. Like Gandhi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Or Churchill.
Churchill.
There yeah. you go.
I like that. I like that even better. Yeah.
Okay.
Cher, are you kidding?
Sorry, I was thinking of one named celebrity.
I am not Bruce Jenner.
I was thinking of one named... Never mind. It was a joke until you ruined it.
I didn't ruin it by calling you, I don't know... Stephanopoulos.
Don't ever do that again.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Fair enough.
Now you see how that feels.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. And it's also the night that I promised you guys we were going to be joined by Steve House, the chairman of the Colorado GOP. We have Steve on the phone. Steve, welcome to Grassroots Radio.
So let me get this straight. We've got...
Don't start with me, Steve.
The president of the United States is the closest thing to a Jewish president. Ken Clark is Gandhi. Wow.
Yeah,
Upside down kind of world, Steve. That's what it is.
Is this really the red collar comedy tour now? The blue collar comedy tour?
It's just when Ken comes into the studio with me, it just kind of devolves sometimes.
All taste and common sense go right out the window.
Pretty much.
It's entertaining though.
Well, good. You know, that's what we aim to please. That is what we aim to do. We do this now. We weren't able to have you on last night, which is your usual night to come on to Grassroots Radio Colorado, which you do every single week. But we wanted to make sure that we got you on this week. The reason why is because we want to talk to you about this, the RNC's Victory 2015 plan, which I have started seeing circulated after the spring meeting. And the more I've gotten to look at this, the more disturbed I am, Steve. This is it's a plan that lays out how the RNC is planning to implement in the state of Colorado. Is that a fairly accurate description of what we're looking at here?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's some aspect of it that's implementation related, but it isn't that the RNC is implementing something separate of us. I mean, we've sat through the meetings, went through the maps, talked about the strategies. We did it in Phoenix. We've done it in Denver. So nothing about what that whole structure is something that I'm surprised by or that I don't have belief in. I absolutely do, because we're a big part of that. Now, some of the mechanics of rolling it out or implementing it, there's been a few bumps because this is the first time we've actually done it this way. And I think, you know, some people are interpreting those bumps as a lack of respect. I get that. I understand where they're at, but I don't subscribe to the theory this is not going to be good when we're done with it, and it's not going to be a joint strategy, because that's what it is.
Okay, so let me start there. It's already being put into place right now. This is not something that's been proposed. It's something that's actually happening.
It's actually not, if you think about it. I mean, I'm a person who believes in actual impact. So for this to be put in place, a field director would have had to been hired and or there would have had to be the beginnings of training that goes with this implementation. It is simply being shown to counties in one-on-one meetings today. But until we get the data stuff sorted out, which we're not done with, we've got a big meeting a week from Friday, and until we get the first interviews done with field directors, nothing has actually been implemented. It's just being talked about.
Steve, I've got to take exception to what you just said, simply because I've got a meeting with a national party member who is hired in the state of Colorado. I've got a meeting with this guy on Friday. So the national party does have people in place that are on the payroll in Colorado right now. Yes.
Who is that? Who is it that
Jordan.
You're meeting with? Oh yeah, but he's a carryover from last year. So,
well, my point being, we have members of the Colorado National Party on the payroll in Colorado right now. They're hiring them. They're hiring them in Pueblo. I'm seeing on Facebook that they're actively hiring people, asking for resumes. They're starting to do interviews. That to me is not going to be implemented. That is happening now, Steve.
Well, yeah, you have to put it in context, okay? And I hear what you're saying, but let's talk about the people that are in place. There are six people on the team that I work with. All six, or five of the six actually, were here during the last election cycle. They're not new. They haven't been hired. They weren't interviewed because they were here in the last cycle. The one person that's been added to that team is a guy named Jose, who's actually in Pueblo, and I actually interviewed him. It was the very first week that I became chairman, and he's part of the minority outreach group, and he's been great. Now, you're probably meeting with Jordan to go over this same plan that you've seen on Facebook, because they want to explain it to all county officers and understand. And I've asked them to make sure of two things. One is that they include in the discussion how the role of the state and county party play in the whole strategy, because we're a major part of it. And the second thing is that if anybody has any issues or questions about it, that they call me, because I helped in this PowerPoint process. I have been part of it, and I said to them, guys, you know, there's just not enough state party representation or county party on the PowerPoint, and they're trying to narrow it down to just help people understand how the field directors, the nine people that are going to be around the field directors and the volunteers all knit together. It doesn't explain well, and we've got to tune it up, but that's really where the problem is.
It doesn't explain well, Steve, because there is no place for the county parties or the state party anywhere in the organizational chart that they lay out in the Victory 2015 PowerPoint. Now, I went through this on the show in depth last night. You've got field directors who report to state directors who report to national, and at no point at whatsoever within this org chart is there any direct reporting to the county parties? Is there any direct coordination? Is there even a dotted line to the county or the state parties? The state parties are not part of this PowerPoint. They've spent how long putting this thing together, putting the strategy together, which, by the way, is basically a duplication of the Obama campaign 2008 snowflake strategy. It's pretty much the same thing. It took us 7 years to actually, quote unquote, develop it. But at no point in this PowerPoint is there any reference to how there's going to be reporting to the county parties or to the state party? So what you're telling me is that it doesn't explain well, and I'm guessing that that means that they have to translate and put in people's minds that, yes, there will be county party or there will be state party representation. How does that work?
Well, yeah, I mean, we literally, as a group, sit down already and look at a particular House district or Senate district or county, and there are a number of counties coming up where the meeting between the county officers and the field or the state director for the RNC, which in this case is Ian, where I will actually be in attendance as well to be able to lay it out. We've had some separate meetings. We've met with Jeffco. I went down to El Paso today. There's some other stuff that's going on the side. We need to tighten up the PowerPoint. I don't particularly care for it either, but it's not an intention to weed out or remove the county party's responsibility or the state party. It's absolutely not that at all. It's just poorly done, as far as I'm concerned, on the PowerPoint.
Steve, this is kind of what it looks like to me. I mean, at the very end of the session, we had a late bill dropped that was designed to eliminate the caucus system in the state of Colorado for presidential races and replace it with a primary. Okay, we saw the same thing happen in Nevada. It was defeated just this week in Nevada, but they're trying it all over the place. And so that the primary in Colorado was defeated. So it looks to me like now they are sitting there there going, okay. And when you take a look at this PowerPoint, it says, all right, well, we couldn't do the primary in Colorado. So here's what we'll do. We'll set up our own infrastructure. We'll shadow the Colorado GOP, the Colorado County's structure that's already there, but we will set up our own. Therefore, we can overwhelm the caucus system. That's what it looks like they're doing.
And so I want you to ponder that while we go to break. I hate it when these things come up in the middle. Ponder that. Let's answer that, Steve, when we come back from break. I'm Chris Cook. We've got Ken Clark of Freedom 560 sitting in studio. You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. Welcome back to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. This is Chris Cook. I've got Ken Clark of Freedom 560 sitting in co-hosting with me, as you do every Wednesday.
It is a pleasure, as always.
Always love having you in here. And we have on the phone Steve House, who's the chairman of the Colorado GOP. Steve, before we went to break, Ken asked you a question. Ken, could you kind of rephrase that?
Well, yeah. Basically what happened at the very end of the legislative session 2015, there was a bill that was dropped, a late bill, that would remove the caucus process in the state of Colorado for the presidential races and replace it with a primary, okay? And that is a very huge disadvantage to the grassroots and the Romulans, whatever. But they also tried to do that in Nevada. They've tried to do that in several other states. And we killed it here. And it got very precarious at the end. But we were able to kill the bill here. They killed it in Nevada just on Monday. So as a result of that, it looks like when you take a look at this PowerPoint presentation that we were talking about, which is the national party's implementation of their structure in the state of Colorado, which really has zero reference to the state parties, the county parties, PCPs, precincts, precinct committee people, I mean, the whole thing. So it looks to me, and it appears to me, that the National Party has decided that because we don't have a primary in Colorado, they're going to implement a shadow party. They're going to mimic the structure that we already have, but set up their own, not go through our structure, and just simply set up their own in order to try to drive the caucus process.
What do you think about that, Steve?
I think it's absolutely not going to happen that way. I have had many conversations with the RNC, and this PowerPoint and structure was gone over long before the presidential primary was even a consideration. I mean, I think we knew it was coming and that a bill would eventually drop. But this is really a structure in lieu of, if you think about what happened in 14, there were 31 field offices created in the state, or bought or rented or whatever in the state, called victory offices, et cetera. This time the decision was made that it was actually more important to have people than offices. So we may see 2, 3, 4 offices in the state, but it's mostly about the field organization to get out the vote. And, you know, in Chairman Priebus and I, and we've had conversations along with Matt Pinnell, who's the chair of chairs, along with Peter Graves, who's the APD for our area from RNC. You know, the strategy is, look, you have to execute on the ground so much better than we have in the past to win in a presidential year. So the strategy in a presidential year is different than it is in the midterm year. And it really involves all these people, because the belief is that if we don't enable minority voters, if we don't get out the vote at a much higher rate, we're not going to get there. And offices are not going to do that. So I think it's coincidence on the primary, Ken. I've talked to these guys 5 times, 6 times in the last 2 days about strategy. I've asked the hard questions all along. I don't believe we're going to see. I wouldn't let it happen. I mean, I really wouldn't. I mean, there's no reason in the world, and there's no way the RNC really can run their strategy without involving county parties and what's going on, because there's not enough people with 43 or 45 people on the ground to do that. They have to integrate into our volunteer structure and our counties, or there won't be enough people.
Well, that's just the paid people, isn't that true? That we've got, according to this organizational structure, you've got way more than that involved in this structure that the RNC is putting forward in their Victory 2015 plan, that is, in fact, outside of our elected PCPs, our elected district captains, our elected county party officials. These are you know, neighborhood team leaders. These are folks like that. It's not the people who were elected to fill those positions by the people who live in those districts who are part of the party structure.
They'll be standing alongside them, Chris.
They'll be standing alongside them, but there's no dotted lines.
I know that, and that's why the PowerPoint is being fixed. I actually have the same observation about the PowerPoint. We're working on it. I work with Ian on a daily basis on it, and we're getting it fixed so that it represents really what's going on. And that's why
it's more than dotted lines, and it's more than the PowerPoint, though, Steve. It's a fact of where the money's flowing, and who is in charge, and who reports to whom.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when the National Party talks about spending money in a county and giving the counties the financial support that they need, what they really mean by that is they will hire their own people in that county, and that's their idea of supporting that county.
You know what? They don't give money to the counties to do that. I mean, if you really want to talk about how the structure works, you know, there's a payroll transfer, as we've talked about. In reality, in 14, this is a lot of people don't realize this, but in 14, there was actually somewhere near 700 people on the Colorado GOP payroll, and it was transfer money from the RNC to then pay paid walkers, the staff, the field directors, the people that were out there. So it all flows through the Colorado GOP. It may or may not do that completely the same way this year. Part of it's a human resource problem. You know, you have all those people and you have to deal with all the human resource aspects of having that many people on your payroll. But I would be screaming loudly if I saw anything in their actions and in our strategy sessions or conversations that lead me to believe they're going to go to Adams County and cut out Anil Mathai. They're not going to do that. I'm going with them to Adams County. I'm going with them to a number of counties to implement the strategy. It's all about being supportive. Now, you could say, let's just take a field director, right? One field director in Denver or one in El Paso County. You know, a field director working out of the El Paso County office is ideal, working directly with Jeff. But we also have to hire people that are smart enough and capable enough to execute a strategy that gets us to victory without Jeff having to hold their hand. The most important part is we've committed to the fact that all of these employees that are hired are going to be interviewed by the county leadership as well. That is absolutely going to happen.
We've got some conflicting reports about that. But let me ask you this, Steve. Bottom line is when you were running, when you come onto Grassroots Radio Colorado doing your campaign for chair, and we would discuss what your plans were for the state, and you talked about empowering the county parties, and you talked about your plan for outreach into the minority communities, and you talked about how you had plans that you were going to implement on all of these levels. Why are we now that you've been elected, now that you've been in office for a couple months, why are we now adopting whatever it is that the RNC wants to shove down our throats? Why are we having these discussions with all these, whoever it was, the chair of chairs and Reince Priebus and the whatever other acronym that you used? And why are we taking that strategy? Why are we not using the ideas that you ran on?
We are. And here's what's happening, Chris. I mean, you're talking about just seeing the leading edge of a strategy that's got to be implemented over the next 6 months, right? And through December. But here's what's happening. So on a regular basis, and it happened 2 days ago, or Monday, I guess, or Friday, I met with the Jefferson County chair. We went through data. We went through fundraising. So my help for the counties, what I want to do to make the counties better, is several things. One is help them fundraise, because there's a lot of counties that don't do it very well. They don't like it. They don't even know how to find the data to do fundraising. That's one thing. Two is we're building a brand new county handbook. Been worked on for 6 or 7 weeks now. It's very complicated. Frankly, the handbook for the county, if you've ever seen it, will show you that it has a real strong negative about petitioning on a ballot. It really promotes the caucus process. And I think a lot of people knew that, but we've got to make some changes in how the county structure works to give them real information. We're doing the county handbook. We're doing the fundraising training. We've got regional meetings on 4 weekends out of 6 in July and August, where we'll bring each of the counties together in a region, and we will do a series of trainings for them that include the fundraising, the messaging. We're going to bring in TV people. We're going to walk through, you know, clerk's offices and understand how assessors and clerks work, and really, and how to train a judge, how to do poll watching. We're going to do all of that stuff in a training. That's going to beef up the county. This group on that PowerPoint is get out the vote, register the vote, gather data, coalesce the data that we need to run. I guarantee you, by the time we get that implemented, the counties will have better data to approach winning elections than they've ever had before by far. This is just the first part of the strategy. It's unfortunate that people have this impression, but it's not going to be a negative. It's going to be a big positive.
We've got a phone call, and John has been very patiently holding. John, welcome to Grassroots Radio. What do you got?
Yes, I would just like to comment on my experience last time in Jefferson County. I felt that the field representatives were there to promote Cory Gardner and to some extent Bob Beaupre, but were basically AWOL as far as helping Tony Sanchez and helping Tim Neville. There was very little coordination with the county party, and when I was out knocking on doors the last several weeks before the election, I never saw people from the field office out there. I didn't see door hangers except on rare instances. I was very disappointed by the lack of effectiveness and of what happened last time, and I hope that we're going to be taking steps to make sure that this time there is coordination. Once we have a nominee, that they coordinate with the candidates, coordinate with the county party, and work as a team and not have their own agenda.
John, you bring up a very good point, and I want to address this because part of what this is doing and what this looks like is that, you know, when we can take a look at 2014 and we can take a look at 2012, and when the national party comes into a state, they're not doing it because they care about the state house or the state senate. They're not coming in here because they want to get control over the Colorado State House of Representatives. The down ticket races are always sacrificed. Right now, in 2014, it was really bad. I mean, how long did Ryan Call run around going, "We won, we won, we won," when all we did was put Cory Gardner and take out Mark Udall? Overall, in Colorado, we got our head handed to us. Right now, we're running into 2016. We've got a presidential election, okay? And my worry, my fear, and I share this with a lot of other folks that I talk to every single day, their fear is these people from the RNC, the Republican National Committee, are being brought into Colorado because of Jeb, 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 Jeb. Maybe they'll concentrate on the Senate, maybe they won't, but the down ticket races, I mean, go to hell. I mean, they're to hell with you, they're done, and they're not going to concentrate on it. That is one of the problems with the national party having such a major influence inside a state. We might want to let Steve respond to that on the other side.
Yeah, Steve, we'll take up your response on that, because I do share Ken's concern. I think that this is a dangerous place for us to be, especially with the reporting structure that is in place. And the fact that there is no why in this entire thing, there's no why. This is an empty shell waiting to be filled by the national party, and that is the problem I have with this. I'm Chris Cook. I've got Ken Clark of Freedom 560 sitting in studio with me. You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. Welcome back to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. This is Chris Cook. I've got Ken Clark sitting in studio co-hosting with me.
You know, on my show, when I hear the music play and I like the song, I let it go a little bit before I just jump right in. I mean, I noticed that you are so anxious to get after it.
We have important things to discuss. When we play the Eagles, I let it play for a while.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Well, as long as we do that sometimes.
Sometimes. Not every time.
I know it's my show and I have every... wait a minute. It's your show and I have every right to tell you how to do it.
You're going to anyway. God knows.
You know, that's just my nature.
So we've got Steve House. He is the chairman of the Colorado GOP sitting on the line with us. And not sitting in studio, sitting on the line. And we're talking about the RNC's Victory 2015 plan. And Steve, we've been beating you up pretty good, but this is a very worrisome thing to us, because this is how the RNC comes in, takes over. This is how they push their establishment candidates down our throats. They pay people. They bypass the county parties. They duplicate efforts or worse, take over efforts and completely ignore the down ticket races. And that is the problem. And one of the points in your campaign as well was that we need to prep for 2020, for redistricting, that we need to take over the House, that we need to make sure that we extend our majority in the Senate so that we are safe when we get to redistricting. How are we going to do that with a complete infrastructure that is focused solely on the top of the ticket races? Steve?
This one, when the two of you are together, that air of toughness is a good thing. So we should do this more often. let me just sort of address that. So first of all, down ticket races are my responsibility. I mean, that is absolutely true. Of course, it's still responsibility as a chairman of the GOP to win Senate and congressional races as well as the presidency. But the reality of it is, it is my responsibility to go after the state races. There are so many limitations that you face as a party with regard to state races. I mean, the campaign finance stuff for state races is so dramatically reduced over what you get in a federal race that it does make it more challenging to deal with that. So if I've got RNC people on the ground gathering data about voters, making visits that help gather data that can help me execute a strategy that I need to execute, I'll take that. I'll take the free walkers. I think the guy's concern, your concern about, you know, cooperation in terms of who they talk about, what candidates they talk about, what the goals are, I think that's going to be better this time, but I understand the concern. I mean, I think there's evidence that the last couple of times it wasn't done that way, but I've also heard the RNC speak about the issue proactively to even to help us with data on a mayor's race in Thornton and some other stuff. I mean, they're getting out there now much earlier than they ever did before, because there are some other races we need to play in, because you have to build an organization that can win with good candidates and great candidates. And I think that's what's going to happen. I don't have as much concern, but I do understand your concern.
Steve, you said that they're getting out there now and they're starting to collect the data and they're starting to do all that. Yet earlier in the first segment, you said that this isn't happening now. So I guess my question would be, is it happening now or isn't it?
Well, yeah, but you were referring to implementing the PowerPoint plan, hiring field directors. I'm referring to the fact that I do have myself. I went to Cinco de Mayo. I go out and see people, and the data that we gather in those events goes back into the data structure, which, by the way, a lot of people are confused by the data structure, and that's partly because we have work going on by Jeff Piotr, our CIO, and his team, which involves people like Craig and Jen and others, trying to figure out what the best data structure is for the state. If we can get better data for state races than by using a different resource than the RNC is capable of giving us, we're going to go get that better data.
And then in the meantime, they're going to come in and they're going to suck up all the oxygen in the room. They're going to take our donations. They're going to take our volunteers. They're going to take folks, hire them into the structure and take all the oxygen out of the room so that we cannot pursue those down ticket races. And so we can't pursue getting that data. So we can't pursue any of that.
Why do you think they're going to take our donations? I don't get that part.
It's they're taking the oxygen out of the room. That's what they're doing.
She didn't say donation.
Yeah,
you did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, never mind then.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Okay. I mean, look.
Hearing tonight.
I remind the RNC colleagues, which right now I have a great confidence in Ian. When I sit down with, you know, people like Christian or, you know, Paolo or Jordan, when I sit down with them, I remind them on a regular basis, and I know they get this, the county parties are where they're going to get work done. And so they'll give me a list. They'll say, we think we're going to have trouble in these counties because of things from the past, or maybe they don't have a good enough relationship with the county chair, and we will work with that county chair to go there. If I, as a 54-year-old, 33-year business executive, cannot lead a team of people like the RNC team that I have, I really am not much of a leader. So
Steve,
I'm hoping that you'll give me confidence.
Steve, you don't have that team. I mean, they may office with you, but they are paid by the RNC. They are RNC loyal. And here's the thing. I mean, the Tea Party and the Liberty Party and really the Republican Party in the state of Colorado, it's like a battered wife. You know, we've been beaten up. We've been abused. We keep coming back asking for forgiveness, asking to make this better. And at this point in time, I don't want the RNC anywhere near the state of Colorado. I don't care. I'm sure that Ryan had a great relationship with his RNC head as well. I really don't care. I'm sure they're very nice gentlemen. I'm sure they are. And I haven't met them. I will be sitting down with Jordan next week. He's probably shaking in his boots at this point after listening to this. But, I'm sure that they're very, very nice people, but I don't want the RNC anywhere near this state. We're here to win for Colorado.
Steve, I want to ask this question because I'll find out this on Friday, but it is my understanding that the Republican National Party looks at the Liberty groups the same way they look at any other group out there. And by group, I mean like the Hispanic groups or the Black groups. And we're categorized the same way. And the RNC doesn't realize that the Liberty groups and the activists in the state of Colorado, Nevada, wherever they are, because we're all pretty much the same. We are in fact, the base, the cornerstone, the anchor of that party. They look at us and say, okay, we got to reach out to these people, see if there's some way we can placate them and make them happy, and then they'll be on our side. If they come in here and do what I think they're going to do, and is promote their candidate for president, the rest of the world be damned, then they're going to have a major fight on their hands.
Boy, there was about three things in there that I wanted to comment on. First of all, Chris, from your perspective, if we didn't have the RNC in the state, I think we would have far less opportunity with financial resources on the ground help to win the presidency, and I think we need that. Secondly, I'm not going to allow anybody in any circumstance to affect the presidential primary in a way that is at all outside of our bylaws. So if I find out someone in that group, which I interact with, which I have dotted line responsibility for, which I have daily interactions with because they're in my office, if they're out there promoting a specific candidate during the primary, that will be a serious problem, and we will absolutely take action on it.
If so, you find out.
Yeah, and you know what? How do you get away with anything now? I mean, everything gets found out. So don't think that we're not going to find out. We would find out, obviously, for that reason. And then I forgot. I was going to push back on something Ken said.
I'll remind you. And you're right about one thing, Steve. Everything does get found out in this day and age. You'd be amazed. Yep. So one of the things that I had mentioned was that the Republican National Party.
I remember.
Yeah, they look at the Tea Party. Yeah, exactly. They look at us as just another group that they need to do outreach, pat us on our little heads, and tell us to go sit in the back of the bus.
By the way, I think that my friend Jordan is preparing for you.
Oh God!
He came in this morning, what he said to me was, he had a great smile on his face, and we were chatting, and he had conversations yesterday with two people. One was with Florence, and the other was with Becky. And I said, then you'll be ready for Ken on Friday then, won't you? And he said, yes, I think I will.
So were those his warm-up rounds then? I guess that's how it goes. I say that with all love for Florence, but I would think that I would be her warm-up round.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Florence is a bulldog when it comes to this stuff. Actually, you mentioned Becky, and I want to go to that because you said earlier that the people are going to be, the RNC people in the county at the field office level are going to be hired with the input and so forth of the county chair. However, we have people on the ground hired in Pueblo. Becky Mizell, who is the chair of the Pueblo County GOP, had zero input into that hire. Didn't interview or any of that.
Let me go back to Ken's question, and I'll come back to Becky and Jose. On the Tea Party piece, Ken, I don't think it's that they view the Tea Party Liberty movement like they do a minority outrage. They view the need to unify the party, and so they have to. I mean, Chris said it earlier. She said, I don't want the RNC anywhere in the state. I mean, you really have this negative view of the RNC. I think it's great. I think it's great that they recognize the need to reach out to the Liberty part of our party and start to interact rather than not do that at all. I've seen it myself. I mean, I've seen how closely aligned the goals of what we call the establishment part of the party and what we call the liberty part of the party really are. It's a communication problem. It's a relationship problem. It's a execution problem, which comes to Becky, right? So Jose was teed up as a candidate, a military veteran, wounded warrior. The second day I was in office, and they called me and said, we're not going to hire this guy without you interviewing him. Now, at the second day in office, I had a blizzard of details and problems, from debt to a lack of cash to pay payroll, all the things we're dealing with. I interviewed Jose on the phone for 40 minutes. I thought he was fantastic. Today, or even a week later, what I would have asked them, and I didn't, and I blame this on myself, is, has he talked to Becky yet? And I didn't ask the question. We were new, and we just didn't ask the question, but it won't happen that way again. A county party chair will interview people that are responsible for their area as field directors and the organization below them.
Okay. Well, we'll continue
I was just
to address
this. I was just going to suggest, Steve, you do realize we record every show, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Just so you know, it is live,
Ken, if it doesn't happen that way, I'm going to be angry. because we haven't agreed.
Yes, yeah, so
but I
so.
Fully expect it will. I have an absolute commitment from a guy that I've got a growing trust relationship with, in Ian, who I think is a very smart man. Ian and I agreed, anybody that I tee up for him to interview for any position, he will interview seriously. I will get a chance to interview, and so will the county,
if
and
Ian,
anybody who submits a resume.
If Ian is that great, then what Ian needs to do is resign from the RNC, and then you need to look at him for the Colorado GOP. If Ian is that great, and he's that great a part of Colorado, and he's got that much to add to the Colorado effort, then he needs to resign from the RNC and go to work for the Colorado GOP and not work for the RNC anymore. We have to run to break, Steve. I'm so sorry. We will be right back and
let him address that on the other side. You bet.
We'll let you address that on the other side. I'm Chris Cook. We've got Ken Clark sitting in studio. Steve House, chairman of the Colorado GOP, on the line. You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. Welcome back to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560. This is Chris Cook. We've got Ken Clark sitting in studio co-hosting with me this evening, and we have Steve House, chairman of the Colorado GOP, on the line. We're talking about the RNC's plan for Victory 2015. I guess that's what the name of the plan is. I'm not sure why it's not 2016. But before we went to break, Steve, I made the assertion that this gentleman who works for the RNC out of your office, and his name is Ian, that you're obviously very have a lot of respect for him and believe that he's a great guy. And I think my assertion before we went to break was that he should quit the RNC and go to work for the Colorado GOP if he's going to do so much good for the Colorado races.
Chris, if I had an opening in the GOP to hire somebody right now, Ian would be at the top of the interview list.
Okay. So, but in the meantime, there is no room for him in Colorado is I guess what I'm trying to get you to understand. That you said before that without the RNC, then we don't have enough financial resources to do this and we'd be severely handicapped. And Steve, I just got to point out to you something that I think you pointed out to me about a year ago. And that is it's just one of the ways, but this is one major way in which the RNC makes us dance to their tune. And it's time that we divorce ourselves from DC and get rid of that influence and have grassroots take care of this.
Well, and here's the way, and this is how the caucus system is designed. This is one of the things that I like about it so much, is it gives power to the people. I mean, anyone can participate, anyone. All you have to be is a registered Republican before a certain date, and you can participate in the process. You can go get yourself elected to be a delegate. You can go get yourself elected to be a PCP. I mean, you can get involved. Anyone and everybody can get involved. And you can go support. You can get involved based on your support of the candidate. I mean, it is a very bottom-up type of structure. And what it looks like that the RNC is doing is a top-down type of structure, which is just the opposite of grassroots involvement. And so for that reason, I mean, you can only draw one conclusion. They're doing it because they've already decided who the candidate is going to be, and they're going to set up the infrastructure to make sure that that happens. I mean, we saw it in 2012 with Romney. We saw it in 2008 with McCain. I mean, it's typical common stuff. We saw it in the 2014 gubernatorial race with Bob Beaupre. We saw the same thing in the Senate race with Cory Gardner. I mean, it just keeps happening over and over again. And so that is what we elected you to try to solve and to stop.
Yeah. And so let me just relate this to a very simple business situation. I worked for GE Healthcare. GE sold CAT scanners. We frequently had third-party vendors who would want to sell something that you added to that device. Those third-party vendors felt like they were the state party compared to us at GE was the RNC. So the RNC's focus is federal elections. I mean, they're based in Washington. They're focused on federal elections. All their reporting and money is based on federal rules. So, yeah, they have a natural focus on federal elections. We, as a state party, have our primary focus on state-based elections. There is crossover, obviously, because presidential candidates, and especially presidential candidates, Colorado's part of the equation. That's the only thing that is, though, because Senate candidates are entirely Colorado as well. So the bottom line is, what you have to do to make that work, the same way we did with GE and using, you know, third-party vendors, is you have to understand what each group's primary responsibilities are, and you have to have enough of a relationship and a strategy for both to be successful. Otherwise, the partnership doesn't work. And we know that there are some states where that's happened over time. My choice would be, based on experience, that we try to make that partnership work. we try to make it work because we have good leadership. We have a good strategy. There's a necessity for both sides to have data. There's a necessity for both sides to have voter contact and information, and any overlap is likely to annoy voters rather than promote our cause. There's also a necessity to have common branding, common messaging, you know, where it's applicable. And so there's a need to work together if at all possible. And I think it will benefit us to do that. And I'm not convinced, as I sit here today as a businessman, that we can't make it work. Although changes have to be made, and I think they're being made, and you'll see that over time. You're just not going to see that in the first PowerPoint.
Steve, I think we've hammered that to death as much as we can. There's another issue that I wanted to talk to you about, and that is that the RNC back in, what was it, 2012, maybe it was 2014, I can't remember when they made this decision, but they decided that we were going to have a binding mandatory straw poll in the state of Colorado. Now, if we choose to have a non-binding straw poll, we go down from what, 36 delegates down to 9?
Explain real quick the difference between binding and non-binding.
Basically what it means is we will do a straw poll candidate. We will vote on our preference for our presidential candidate, and it will be binding. And if it is a binding straw poll, whoever wins 50 plus 1 or whatever the case may be, all of those delegates are automatically pledged to the winner of that straw poll. It's mandatory. Okay. And that's how it works. Now, if we have a beauty contest or a non-binding straw poll, then we lose.
As we always have.
Yeah. Because this is being forced down our throat by the Republican National Committee. Oh, how nice. I mean, it's not like they never show up to any state and don't force their will upon us. They've done it in this particular case. And so we're in a real crossroads here. And our delegates, our power as a state, as far as the National Convention, is in jeopardy. Now, have you announced what is the plan for that straw poll? Because so far I haven't seen anything yet.
Well, the reason why is we have to take it to the Executive Committee, which will be a meeting in, I think it's the 26th of June. On that meeting, we will discuss it. And you know, I think the question I'd ask you, because your explanation was perfect. I should have recorded that. The reality of it is it's not the RNC that changes that rule. It's delegates. It's all the voters to it. And yeah, you know,
I was at the 2012 convention, dude. I know exactly what happened. They changed rule 15. They changed rule 16. They crammed a lot of things down our throat at that convention. I mean, they can even replace our delegates now if they choose to. If I become a delegate to the National Convention and they don't like me, they can replace me. And there's not a damn thing anybody in Colorado can do about it. That was rule 15.
It's all about controlling which states get to select delegates first more than anything else. That's why a binding straw poll, if you do it in February before our turn to do it, you lose the delegates. If you do it in March, you do not. But we haven't decided. It's going to be a major portion of the agenda on that June 26th meeting, and I invite you guys to come along and sit in and listen.
But I mean, we have to, according to them, though, we have to make it a binding straw poll, right? And if we don't do that, we do lose our delegates. I mean, the date's part of it, and then the binding, non-binding is part of it as well, yes?
If the state GOP decides to do a straw poll, it has to be binding or we lose delegates. So, you know, one of the considerations for the executive committee will be, does the state GOP sponsor and or promote a binding straw poll or none at all? And that's what happened in 14, if you remember, because many counties did their own straw polls, but the state party didn't do anything with it.
The state party decided not to do it, so the counties basically said, stick it, we're going to do it anyway. What's the scenario if that happens this time?
No, it would be the same as 14. It would not violate the rule.
Okay. Yep. All right, very good.
That's good to know. Steve, we've beat up on you a lot, but I do believe that this is an incredibly important issue, and I really wanted my listeners to hear your responses. I wanted them to understand what exactly was going on. I am heartily disappointed in the RNC that they've released this, obviously, way, 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 way before it was ready, even though it's based on a model that was developed in 2008. And they just haven't quite figured it all out yet. And it's also illiterate. There's a bunch of typos. You need to know that.
I know. That's part of my problem. And let me just say this. I don't think you're beating up on me. I think we agreed to transparency. Sometimes transparency discussions are difficult, but I don't feel like you guys are beating up on me. It is so different the conditions you get when you get into office versus the day before you go are different. But as long as your principles don't change, your belief in transparency, your belief in the role of county parties, the caucus, and everything else that I believe in the end, nobody will be upset with how we conduct ourselves. But yes, in the process, sometimes transparency is tough.
It sometimes is. Steve House, chairman of the...
Can I say one thing, Chris?
Absolutely. I'll give you the last word.
Better make it quick.
Very quick.
I want to say, God bless Karen Pelzer and the Pelzer family for having lost her. She was a great Republican, and it's. I hope that she is resting comfortably with God in heaven at this point.
Thank you for saying that, Steve. I really appreciate it. Steve House, Colorado GOP chair. You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on KLZ 560.